Welcome to the CFC Jacks Midweek Podcast, where we discuss topics related to becoming a fully devoted, Spirit-empowered Christ follower. We hope that wherever you are today, you'll be encouraged by the truths discussed in this podcast.
Well, welcome to Q&A. We're so excited to have you with us this morning. So here's how this goes. This is an opportunity for you to text in your questions from the sermon this morning. So there'll be a number that pops up here in just a moment across the screen, and then you can text those in. So if there's something in your heart or your mind stirring that you're just not sure about, I really want to encourage you to text that in, because if you're thinking that, likely someone else is as well. So I want to encourage you to send those in this morning. We made it through a lot. This morning. Wow.
It may have been a world record. I had 81 slides of the scripture we read through. But the goal wasn't so much to overwhelm. It was to show that Jesus, this wasn't just this idea of the way he engaged with the lost. It wasn't just a here and now. He didn't do a short-term trip. Mission trip here or there. It was his life was, that's why I started with the Luke 5. His life really was the mentality of I'm here for those who need a savior, which is all of us. And so if I'm here for those who need a savior, then I've got to learn, not learn, I want to interact with them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. He left heaven. He left true righteousness. Not to hang with some mildly righteous people on earth.
Right. That's a good point. Right.
I've never thought about that till right now. I'm thinking that's a
really good point.
Yeah. It's like, well, I didn't, if I wanted to be with like righteous people, I'd go back home. Like, really? That was sweet.
Yes. I feel like, wow, I've never thought of that before.
So I am here to engage those who are not yet in relationship with the Father. So, and just dramatically different, not just different actions. I think what was championed for me through a major part of my life was, you know, the more spiritual you were, the more isolated you were. And it's just so contrary to our leader that it's not isolation.
He was so intentional. Like, as we went through each of these scenarios, there's such intentionality in his behavior, his responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was hard on some people, people who thought they were righteous. Mm-hmm. Super gracious to people who recognized their need, but he was very confrontational with those who were propagating and demonstrating a religious practice that missed the true heart of the Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as we've talked about this in engaging with relationships with those who don't know the Lord, question here, I've never shared the gospel with anyone. How do I learn to do that?
Okay. First of all, the gospel is super simple, so don't overcomplicate it. Mm. If you've ever said the words to someone that God loves you and God wants a relationship with you, if you've ever helped them understand that sin has separated them from their Creator and that Jesus was the Son of God who lived a sinless life to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God, that is the gospel. I think it's important. The reason I want you to hear that is that you can learn to share the gospel, but we don't put our hope in the effectiveness by which we share the gospel. Always encouraged by what Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, let me start at the beginning. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. In other words, the gospel. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So that's the opening five verses to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What I appreciate so much about that is we would think that Paul was powerful in his ministry because he was so persuasive with this gospel. And it was like, no, my hope was not in my persuasive words. And so do we want to know how to share the gospel? Yes, but let's not think that somehow if I know it in this really compelling, persuasive way, that somehow that's the secret to seeing people be born again and receiving Jesus. It is the work of the Spirit that has to be present to take blind eyes and make them open, dead people to come to life. That's a work of the Spirit, not of persuasive words. So if you want to know how to share the gospel, there's a couple different ways you can share the gospel available on our website under the resource section. You can go there. But it's very, very, very simple. John 3:16 is the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5 is the gospel. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. When I share the gospel, I do often like to use a little diagram because I think pictures help people, and pictures I can give to them and they can look at later. So there's some simple ways that you can do that, that we can help you with, that happy to do so. We will offer upcoming in a few weeks a class that will help you learn to share the gospel. We have a blessed class that's coming up. So if you're like, no, I still want to learn a specific way to do it, then attend our blessed class that's coming up. But just understand, it's about the work of the Holy Spirit, not so much your persuasive words and saying it in a manner that will convince people. Yeah. It is saying it. You know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if people are going to believe, they have to hear the gospel. But we put our hope in how the Spirit uses those simple words.
Right. And for those of us who have accepted Christ, we have a story.
Yes.
We have a story of how the gospel changed us. And that is a powerful way to also share the gospel, especially if someone has seen that life change in you, or maybe not, but just to hear that real story of how the gospel has changed your life. It's powerful. Don't forget your story.
Yeah, there is. When we talk about bless, begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share. The share is not only share his story, the gospel, but share your story, your testimony of how the Lord worked in your life to take you from death to life. People often will connect to that.
So on was it Luke 6 when we talked about Jesus was kind and merciful to the evil and ungrateful. Yeah. Question here, at what point do you stop helping those who are ungrateful and abuse your help?
You don't stop because they are ungrateful. You may stop if you feel like you're helping them is hurting them. So you're helping them, this sounds crazy, but you're helping them to help them. If you're helping them and they're still ungrateful and they're still not changing, you don't stop helping them because you're not getting something in return. There is a point where you may determine, actually, my helping them is hurting them. There's a book, When Helping Hurts. And there, and that's more in the context of missions where there can be a, I think it's called toxic charity when helping hurts. That I want you to make sure that we understand there can be that place, but I think I hear in the question, people, it's not like, well, we're going to do this five times until they become grateful.
Right.
It's we do it because that's who our Heavenly Father is. And I just think that really helps me when I think I'm a child of God and now the Spirit of God dwells in with, it's like it's in my spiritual DNA that I no longer only help those who help me. I help those who hate me. And I would only stop if actually my helping them is beginning to hurt them. And so I've seen situations where grown adults are still depending upon their parents' financial help, and that actual financial help is hurting them from becoming responsible. And so that can be hard for a parent to figure out when their helping is hurting their grown adults, adult children. But I think that's a case where that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is enabling the right term there.
Yes. Yeah, you're enabling them. But again, it's not, oh, I'm stopped because they're ungrateful. Mm-hmm. Well, again, the heart of God. I've justified that. That's what I confessed in the message. I have justified that at times where I've been like, okay, they're ungrateful, so we won't do that again. And it's been a little bit of a sobering, convicting conversation with Jackie where we literally said those words to one another. They weren't grateful. We won't help them again. I was like, okay, what did we just say right there? Right. They weren't grateful. We're not going to help them again. I think actually Jesus spoke to that.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So, conviction.
This last section that we went through, living as spirit-filled contrarians, as I was like reading backwards through these, like, yeah, I have great joy when people are saved. Ooh, yeah, let's ask for interactions lost, but working back to the heart of it.
Yes.
And truly, it's the desire for the lost to be saved and having a heart for the lost.
Yeah.
That is very convicting and challenging to truly pray that, because as I thought about that as something to pray through this week, well, I participate in these things and these activities. I champion these things, but to truly ask the Lord, where is our heart on these?
Yeah, that's why I think what Jesus, he saw outward actions that revealed an ugly, uncaring heart,
right,
which is why he spoke so harshly to some of the religious leaders of you hypocrites. Your outward actions reveal an ugly heart. And I don't know that, you know, when I recognize my life doesn't look very much like Jesus as it relates to lost people, it's not that I don't want lost people to be found. It's just I'm not taking any proactive action to intentionally engage with them. And that's what Jesus did. He took proactive measures to engage with them. And I know our lives are full, your life is full, and when we have family, and then you have family in town, and then you have church, and you have church relationships, it's like, where are the moments in my life where I'm going to proactively engage with folks that are not yet in relationship with Jesus? Because that's what he did. And it's that idea for me, the way I would say it is the tension. It's not the tension. It's not tension. It's this danger of so busy doing church that we don't have time to be the church. We're doing church, doing all the church activities. So why we've tried to cut back on some of those things. sometimes it just gets filled up with other than soccer and taekwondo and stuff like that. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that may be where you would engage with
absolutely
with other families. It's this idea of, I don't want us to be so busy always doing church things with church people that we are not the church in the world. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said in John 17, when he prays for the disciples, he literally prays, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but that they would be in the world, sanctify them with truth. So this biblical picture, ideal, is that we are engaged in the culture, but not like the culture. We're sanctified by truth. We're contrarians who are engaged, not isolated. Mm-hmm. So I can say it's different to say, I want people to come to Christ versus, well, I'm going to do things. I'm going to engage with folks so that they can meet Jesus, because they have to meet Jesus in order to receive Jesus.
And there's likely people in our lives every day that we don't think about, oh, that's a ministry opportunity. And so asking the Lord to open our eyes to those, whether it's at the grocery store and we see the same people all the time, or at a restaurant, whatever, there's opportunities. Right. And if there's not, we got to switch it up. We got to make some opportunities.
And your orange shirt is just the reminder that a host home is really maybe the hard work is the inviting of folks, but it's a way to go, I'm going to invite my neighbors into my front yard. Mm-hmm. And when I do, they're going to experience something that will be very, very compelling. Seeing teenagers live out their faith and work hard and love on kids is compelling, will be compelling to your adults. So hosting a power-up club really is a fantastic way to be able to engage with your neighbors in a new way.
Absolutely. And if you have questions about that, we have all the information on our website, or email us at info@cfcjacks, and we'll be happy to connect you. Yep. Well, I appreciate your time and you joining us this morning, and hope you guys have a fantastic afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the CFC Jacks podcast. Be sure to watch as we release new teachings weekly, along with additional content during the week. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cfcjacks.com. Thanks for listening.